information on the topics that we're going to address. So roll call everybody, but Mark is here, Spore I see. And we will start with Pet Rescue Annual Report.
This is a report on the city and county dogs that we run through the city pound for the year 2010. There was 229 dogs. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
On the screen, you'll see our report there. Doyle picked up 229 dogs in town, and we had 75 dogs from the county, a total of 304 that were run through the city pound. The owners claimed 50 of the animals. We adopted 231 out. 30 were transferred to other pet rescue organizations. We had 6 die. Usually that's puppies with parvo or something that we get in. We didn't have enough control. They usually come in with parvo already, so. We had 4 escape. Usually these are dogs that climb over the fence or somehow somebody leaves a gate open or something and they escape. We had 1 stolen, which happens usually every year. We altered 173 dogs, which means we spayed or neutered. And every dog that goes through the city pound, we give them their shots. We feed them, see if there's any problems. We altered approximately 50 cats also. And anyway, that's basically the numbers for the year. I don't know if there's any questions. Anybody's got?
I'm pretty impressed at the adoption rate. Wow. You guys are doing a great job.
It's an extremely busy season for us to adopt these. Donna, the Archite, works basically 8 hours a day doing this.
Wow.
I mean, and we have people who adopt from all over the Northwest. We've had them go as far as New York. You know, they see us on the internet and they like the dog and they'll adopt it. They'll pay for the transportation, fly them back or whatever. So mm-hmm. We've had people from Alaska come down. I mean, our main goal is really to get the animals out of the area because these are extra animals that are picked up. Nobody's claimed them. And so we're just trying to find good homes for them. So. It's a little more difficult with cats. Normally what I have is people with coyotes who ate their cats, and so they're looking for more cats. And when we spay and neuter cats, we really don't want to put them out for coyote bait. So I try to find people in town who have extra cats or kittens who are strays or ferals. And so we try to work that way so we don't spend money on spaying and neutering the county cats. But we do occasionally in town, if somebody is not able themselves to finance it, we spay and neutered animals in town for people as long as they will keep them and take care of them. We do that also. So, any questions I can answer?
I know you had a fire a while back where you lost your building and stuff like that. I heard one time the county had offered some land out of Bruce or something. Is that moving any place?
Working on some ground out of the fairgrounds.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like that's gonna go. We have some other options we're working on right now. We hope to have something in place this year. I don't know if that'll happen. We're a nonprofit organization, so raising funds for a building is a slow going process, but we're making some headway.
Okay.
We had hoped to have something going last year. It's expensive. We have 2 separate funds. One fund is for our building fund, and that money does not come out to do other projects. That's strictly for our building, so we take donations from people for that all the time. So. But we also get donations when we adopt dogs out. People will give us a donation to cover the cost, and sometimes a little more just for donations. So that's how we keep rolling. So, because if you look at it, we altered 173 dogs. You can figure roughly $100 a dog.
Oh.
So, and that's shots, spaying, neutering, feeding. I mean, it's just, that's probably a minimum. So you can see we're definitely a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm. Does any other government entity kick in funds besides the city?
The county has helped us a little bit occasionally, especially a couple years ago when we had the big rescue over by Lynn. Mm-hmm. We hope that they can do something this year again. It just depends on funds, extra funds. We don't really have a lot of people who donate to us. I mean, we get a lot of small donations, but we haven't had any big donations lately. So we're always looking for that too. So.
Well, we appreciate the work you're doing. I know it's been a great asset to our city, seeing you guys take over that.
Volunteers too.
Yeah. Any other? Well, there you go. Yeah. Any other council members have questions for Ken? Well, thank you, Ken. We appreciate all the work your group's
thank
doing.
You.
Okay. Review a proposed dog ordinance. Eamon?
Continuing on the dog discussion, we'll talk about an ordinance, potential ordinance that the council would consider at your next meeting. Last meeting, we discussed basically three areas relative to dogs in residential areas in the city. One of the things that came out of that discussion, a question from the council was, what do other cities do? What's the world doing? 29 other cities were contacted in Eastern Washington, and you have the chart in front of you. Basically, it talks about the number of dogs, and if you look and did an average, and here come up with three. Number of cats and the total number of pets. Now, those three categories are relative to the next question for the council is, how many dogs do we allow, should we allow, in a residential area? Some of the other cities had total number of dogs or total number of pets, dogs plus cats in a household. And you can see that by the chart and in the narrative. The council at your last meeting came up, I believe, settled on the number of three dogs. So that's one area of discussion tonight for an ordinance is how many dogs in a residential area. The second discussion the council had was relative to kennels. And this is where the two ordinances that we have are in conflict with one another. So in the research, reading through Catherine's memo, you can see that a lot of other cities approach kennels in one of two fashions. They call it a hobby kennel. That addresses some of the concerns the council members were brought up relative to number of litters. And it identifies more than one litter per calendar year, or who breeds or raises registered purebred dogs, specific breeds for the betterment of the breed, and are limited to no more than three litters per calendar year. Okay, that's one definition of a hobby kennel. Another definition, as you can see, is the smaller, non-commercial kennels adjoining a private residence where dogs or cats were kept and are bred for hunting, training, exhibition, for organized shows, field working obedience trials, or for the enjoyment of the species. In other words, I believe that also goes to what Mr. Councilmember Spohr was talking about in his past in raising hunting dogs. So other cities have defined kennels as the ability to do that, hobby kennels. The second definition of a kennel is a commercial kennel. And basically the difference is for sale and commercial use. So that could be allowed if you allowed it in the zoning ordinance in a residential area. It could be a permitted use is a category it's under. But that's your discussion on where you want to go with the term kennels. The third issue that the council addressed at the last meeting is, what do we do with the existing residences that have more than two dogs and have licensed more than two dogs for a number of years or even 1 year. The council decided, as we talked about this late last fall, to put basically a moratorium on any further people having more than two dogs, but to allow and continue to license those that have had previous license for more than two dogs. So everybody that had licenses in the past for more than two dogs continued to get a license for 2011 for more than two dogs. But the council wanted to move forward and address that. One way to address that is that you can have more than two dogs, keeping more than three dogs and cats over the age of 4 months, so there's an age requirement, at the time of adoption of this ordinance may maintain that same number of household pets and is exempt from this section. Provided this, that, and here's how you get back down to the conforming use, that the same number of population shall not increase, and that in the event the same number of population decreases, in other words, through sales, natural attrition, or giving the dogs or cats away, shall not increase, and that in the event the same number of population decreases, it shall remain at the decreased number or population and shall not increase. So I think that language satisfies this third concern that the council had. So we need to know if this is what you want in an ordinance to be brought back next week, identifying the number of total animals or total dogs per resident, the definition of a kennel, and to do basically a grandfathering, although it's not a real term anymore, to allow those that existing residents in our community that have more than two dogs to continue until through some sort of natural attrition or sale reduces that number to whatever number you decide on. So that's the parameters of the discussion from the last time we met. Be happy to answer any questions, and really we need direction from the council for an ordinance.
So have we settled on three dogs? Did it sound like last week?
Yeah.
And that seems to be what the survey.
Okay.
I think the most people in the survey came out as three.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we have that one answered for the ordinance.
Okay, number's three.
And then as far as, because you can't call it grandfathered, we can't call it that. Okay, does that sound right, what the council's looking for?
Yes.
Okay. And then
so the language about allowing people to keep the dogs that they had is okay. I'm sorry, I just want to make sure, Mayor, that I was hearing that right.
What she wrote there about Newt. They have more than three dogs, are allowed to keep them, and over time is whatever happens to them, they disappear back down to three, and they cannot go over that again.
Okay, so language is good.
Within the city.
The only thing, I tweaked that language, it says once those pets, I would keep this specific to dogs at this point, just to ease it in.
Well, we would make this flow with, if you said three above, and I took that to mean three dogs.
Okay.
So we're not doing pets total, we're doing just dogs.
Right, okay.
This way I'm hearing it from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got cats included in it, so I think this strictly
we're not looking at cats. So, at least not tonight. don't want to go there.
I like the two definitions for the different types of kennels, the hobby kennel and the commercial kennel. That would really help define the different uses between our residential zone and our commercial zones. Currently, right now, I believe our zoning says no kennels at all in a residential zone. But something like a hobby kennel, I would have no problem in a residential. And then the commercials would have to be strictly kept with the commercial zone.
Have you read that hobby kennel versus commercial, everybody in front of them? That sounds what we're looking for?
I'm not. I thought I saw somewhere where it made it really simple. It said if you have more than three dogs, it's a kennel.
That's our old ordinance, I believe, wasn't it?
That's in our current Chapter 17 mm-hmm. zoning.
Correct.
So follow the implications of that. If we just say more than three dogs is a kennel and kennels aren't allowed, now we're just down to litters per year.
Three litters per year.
Does that simplify things?
You mean relative to hobby kennels? And
yeah, if we did away with the hobby kennel and just say anything more than three dogs is a kennel, three dogs or less, you can have X amount of litters per year, two litters per year.
Well, it depends. If you go back to the definitions, part of a hobby kennel is up to three litters a year.
Right.
If you're saying you don't want to address that at all, then yes, but your simplification is very restrictive, if that's what you want.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ken.
Are we saying three litters, period, or are we saying three litters per dog? If you got allowed three dogs, that means nine litters?
No.
I said three litters.
My interpretation would be three litters at a residence, but it is a little unclear. We could clean that up.
I called vet, and pretty generally. Dogs come into heat twice a year, once every 6 months. So you're probably not going to get three litters a year unless you have one on the 1st of January, one July, and the 31st of December. But it's pretty much twice a year they come into heat. So you'd have two litters out of a dog. But the lady was here last week. She only breeds hers every other heat cycle, right? So then you have one litter. Months. Pardon?
Most of mine go about 9 months in between heats.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's what the vet told me. So, anyway, then you pretty well are limited. If you do that, you're down to one litter a year then.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only problem I had is when we did have hunting dogs. You know, we had a litter every 3 years or something. I mean, we did sell them. Mm-hmm. I mean, a hunting dog can go up, a good Labrador Retriever with papers can go up to $350, $400. And I still felt like it was kind of a hobby. I didn't think I was a kennel for profit, but.
That's what you'd fall under then, as a hobby kennel.
Yeah, because hobby kennels is somebody who breeds or raises registered dogs. So hunting dogs would be a registered.
But even with that, there's limitations.
Yeah,
okay,
but
so
there's three per year.
Yes.
I guess I'm confused. Is there two definitions of hobby kennels, the first one or the second one, or is that one definition?
Those are two that we found out there among all these cities that we surveyed. You can combine them if you wanted. I think, Ken, that's where you were going in your discussion. Was
yes.
Like combine the two.
Yes.
Sure, it's clear that that's it per residence.
Yeah. Yes. But
the second definition is a lot more clear.
So,
and there again, you've got cats included in that, so take the cats off of that one also.
Well, if either one of those definitions, if you're going to, I mean, you breed a dog, you're probably going to get four or five pups anyway. So if you're doing it to better the breed, what do you do with the other three or four? Sell them, primarily. But it's not, I assume that under this definition, it's not a primary way to make money. It's just something you do.
As long as the limitations are not here, and then, of course, we have a registration process or a licensing process for dogs. And we will have to monitor that through this process, because if, say, two dogs, you have eight dogs, two dogs die, and you come in and register eight dogs, well, how do we know if you've supplanted them or not? We will know because Buster was registered last year, and now we got Benny registered. Well, it's a different dog. So we'll have to watch that through our licensing process. Only for those that have registered more than two dogs now.
Mark brought up the original of a kennel. Seems to me that in that same thing it said dogs under X number of weeks are not considered a full-grown dog. They're a pup and they will be...
That's in our current code. And when they 8.5 weeks, I think it said, but at whatever point that was, then you have to get rid of them.
I think it's like 8 weeks. Yeah.
Yes. That's the current code.
Is that enough time? Mark, you raised it.
Well, it's been years. I don't know anymore.
Wow. I just bought a pup when it was 7 weeks. Wow.
7 weeks? So
I don't let my dogs go until they're 8 weeks old.
Oh, okay.
And that prevents instruction. They do better when they're with their mother that long.
Okay. So 8 weeks. Okay. So I guess we need that in there, 8 weeks.
What's that?
10 weeks?
8 weeks is a child.
So what, we want 8 or 10 weeks to put on it?
8 weeks.
8 weeks?
8 weeks.
That's a general consensus here?
Normally, eight's when they start to get rid of them. Usually they're gone by 10. I would do 10.
Well, that's only 2 weeks. You actually need at least a month.
There's also the one at the bottom. Where you don't exceed the maximum limit if you get rid of the dogs within 10 weeks of the birth of the litter. So your pups would have to be gone 10 weeks. Is that a reasonable time to get them weaned? And
well, they're weaned before I start weaning mine at 3 or 4 weeks. But
okay.
I don't let them get away from their mother because they learn behavior patterns from their mother. Mm-hmm. Until they're 8 weeks old.
That's, here it says 10 weeks, so.
But it takes a good month to sell them all.
Yeah.
If you sell them all over the Pacific Northwest, I mean, sell them back here.
Mayor, for the record, maybe you get her name and address.
So. Oh, okay. You want to step up and give us your name and address again? We're going to have a public time afterwards for the audience, those that are interested in this, to share. So,
my name is Arnett Hunter and I live at 1221 East Juniper.
Okay. So you're thinking 12 weeks is more reality that we need to have on there?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So what's the council think about that?
Okay.
To me, 2 weeks is nothing, but. So 12 weeks sounds good to everybody? So we want to bring back something that we can pass. That's the goal here. So that sounds good?
It's fine with me.
Okay, I guess I'm going to put 12 weeks on for the... Okay.
You're going to have an
ad? Yeah, we're going to have a public section where you can... Concerns are addressed. You want to address to the council. Okay, so we're going to go 12 weeks there. We're going to stick with hobby kennel, that we're going to call it. Okay, a hobby kennel is 3 litters per calendar year total. How are we going to do that?
We'll make it clear.
Okay. All right, so we have that part done. What was the other part, Eamon? You said 3 parts.
The number of dogs, of kennels, and then the which you've already talked about, is allowing people who have already had and licensed dogs more than two to allow them to continue with the natural attrition, as Councilmember Johnson.
Okay, now commercial kennel, are we going to have that in there? It's addressed right there. What's that?
Would it hurt to have the definition in there?
That's what I'm wondering, we need to address.
So there's something to compare to.
And are not allowed in residential?
Not are allowed in residential.
Yeah, because that's part of the conflict is our zoning, the kennels, and that would help define our zoning issues.
Specified zones.
The only problem I have with that, as I was alluding to, was when we had pups, we sold them for $400, so I'm right back to commercial kennel when I have one litter every 4 years. If I took compensation for them, even though it was a hobby and for the betterment of the breed, once I took cash from them, that's a sale. So I'm a little confused on the wording, how we want to do that.
Wouldn't what you described be the definition between the two? Is with the hobby kennel or the blending of these two allow sale of, and you have your limit of litters, but a commercial can only be done in a commercial area or an industrial area. You don't want to say business because that includes all of Main Street. You want to say industrial area if you're going to allow it at all. But I think you can work what you just said, Mark, into the definition here. I think it's implied anyway, but we can clean it up for you if that will help pass it next week.
Yeah. I just don't want to get anybody in trouble if they breed for the betterment of the species and we find out where they're selling them, then they say you're a commercial kennel and boom.
Right, within these restrictions. Okay, we'll clean that up.
I think by specifying they can only have three litters, they're not going to be in it as a business anyway. They're going to be in it as, you know, maybe they'll make a little money on it, but it's not a big business issue, so I don't see where you really would have a problem with it that way. It's basically no different than having a garden than you have a little excess garden, you take it down to a farmer market, you sell it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Are they in commercial business or aren't they?
Yeah, that's good.
So it's the same
good business. Example.
Yeah.
Good example.
Yard sales, things like that.
And just for the record, I think three litters is too many. If you're doing it for a hobby, two litters a year is fine. Otherwise, that's my personal opinion.
Evidently, somebody came to the counter today and asked how many residences over here. We have about 2,100. And if you multiply that times three dogs, you end up with four dogs and people in the city. This is a
record. Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to have hobby kennels and commercial, correct? Okay, so we need commercial.
Okay, got
yes.
It.
Is there anything else we need to address?
Not that I have, unless the council wants to add something.
Okay, we're trying to make sure you get your answers so that we can get something back next week, and if we have to tweak it again, we'll tweak it. But so anybody else want to comment on the dog one that you're thinking?
On the commercial kennels, you said you were going to clean up the dogs and cats wording?
Yes, we'll take the cats out.
Do we necessarily want to clean that up? Because dogs and cats, I mean, you can have a commercial cat kennel, and we don't want that in town either.
We can leave that in commercial.
Yeah.
Or,
okay. I think leaving, you know, the cats in the kennels is just fine.
I agree.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay. Yeah, good point, Jan. Good. Okay.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions from the council? Okay, is there any citizens in the audience that would like to get up and talk to the council? Please state your name and address. Raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you. Okay, come on back up again and give us your name and address. No?
No.
Would we do something like a yard sale where we permit them?
You could do that. That would be a revenue item for the council. But the way it's addressed now, it's licensing of the dogs.
Okay. Yeah.
Numbers of dogs and a residence.
Okay, and I'll be allowed to sell my dogs from the house?
I don't know. You're a commercial kennel is what you'd be.
Well, and if she only had three litters a year.
But that isn't, yeah, but that's not what the reality is. That's not what she's doing. Right? You're having way more than three litters a year total. Correct?
No, I usually only have two, but I'd like the wording to be three in case one comes in like in January 1st and December 1st.
Oh, okay. Then you would be a hobby kennel. Correct.
So yes, in that case, she would be allowed to sell them from your home.
Yes.
Okay, and not have no licensing required except the licensing of my dogs.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there any other? Ken, you want to come up and state your name and address for the record?
Ken Simmons. I live out of the county, 753 Sunset Acres. The only question I had was, we are always looking for people to foster animals for the breast. Usually what we try to foster is pups, especially because we don't like to leave puppies at the pound. And once in a while we get some old dogs, seniors that, I mean, we had one in the other day that I think, that, I don't remember how it was, like 12 or 13 years old, that an older lady had, she had it forever, but she couldn't take care of anymore. Those we try to find foster homes too, because they're putting them in a city pound is not really a good place for them. I mean, they're, you know, that was just a question I had, was it would be a temporary home, would that be a problem with anybody there in the city council?
We had somebody, Kim came last week and shared about that.
Is there something we could do where we could permit somebody that was going to specifically foster a dog for a short amount of time that would allow them to do that?
We could come up with a foster dog parent.
So they could come in and get the form, get the permit, and be able to do that.
Usually
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Usually fostering is a short-term
situation. It's usually a short-term.
Anyway, yes.
But we've had terminal dogs, too, that people foster until they pass away, too. So, I mean, it's not probably a big thing, but it's something that we wouldn't want to maybe restrict, just, you know, unless it was something that got out of hand.
If they had three or less dogs, it wouldn't happen.
Right.
Then they could assimilate the same. So only if they already had three dogs and added a foster dog.
But they would have to license it.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. If it's just a foster home, do they have to license the dog too?
Well, if we had a special permit, I don't think we would have to license
right.
As long as it was a short term or that it was a terminal dog.
We would, a blanket there would be what's the term, and we would have to work that out. Average time and all that. And if they wanted an extension or something, they have to come to the House of Council for an extension.
Okay, can we put a limit on how many they can foster?
Normally, it's just one per family. I mean, sometimes it'll be, you know, maybe two of their siblings or something.
So can we put two on it so we don't have somebody fostering a whole bunch of dogs? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So two max?
They still have to meet the three dog.
Well, no, they're getting a special permit.
Just
because it's short-term fostering. It's not, from my understanding, right? Short-term fostering.
So they could have five dogs at their house.
Possibly.
If three were licensed and two were fostered, but for a specific amount of time or a specific reason, either terminal or those reasons you gave, we'll sure fill that out in the form. But yes, you're right.
But I hope you realize the can of worms you're opening here, because are you saying adopted is only through pet rescue, or can I adopt my mother's dog and my mother-in-law's dog, and because they're too old to take care of them? Or is it all
but
through
you're
pet
rescue? You're not adopting, you're fostering. It would be a non-permanent, short amount of temporary amount of time.
Wouldn't we tie it to the foster program at rescue? You know? That seems the most logical.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's the only way to do that, mm-hmm. because you're right. Otherwise, it explodes.
Yeah.
We have to tie it to your program.
Sure, because a lot of people are in that situation where the parents can't. I mean, I have two cats right now that the people moved into the Coventry house could take. They had them for 7 years. They didn't really want to just give them away. They wanted to make sure they went to a good home. But there's situations like that all the time. Parents.
We could even have a sign off by a pet rescue that they acknowledge it, which confirms it to us and the pet.
Sure.
How long would you say that people usually foster an animal?
Say if it was like a 3 or 4 month old pup, usually until we get a spayed. Once it's spayed or neutered, we put it on the internet, you know, try to find a home for it. So maybe, I don't know, 6 weeks, 2 months would probably be covered, I would think. Unless it was like, I mean, we've had puppies that were, you know, so little that they shouldn't be weaned, or they weren't even weaned, but they were picked up by somebody in town. And so, but most of those, we find homes out in the country that will take care of it. It takes a lot of time to take care of those kind of puppies. I don't know. I don't know if how specific you want to get into that. I mean, most of it takes care of itself. The foster. Nobody's going to want foster forever. So.
I would also recommend the big advantage about whether you register a dog or you come and register a dog you're fostering is, one, we require a rabies tag so you know they have shots, and two, if it does get out and our code enforcement officer gets it, he can look up and have some idea based on the breed who it might belong to. So maybe the foster process should include those two things, that almost like a dog tag, but with no charge through pet rescue.
That's a good idea. In fact, if we do it right, for them to get a permit from the city, they'll have to bring a certification from pet rescue with all that identified
right
on it before we issue the special fostering permit.
Interesting. Any other questions for Ken? Free. Well, thanks, Ken.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any comments? Chuck, you want to come up and give us your name and address?
My name is Chuck Kepke. I live at 1245 East Cedar. I like how Mark operates. I was here last week, and he had his hobby farm of his dogs, and he said he sold them for $100 or gave them away. Tonight, he said they're $350 dogs. He made $250. He didn't tell us about that. I'm doing math, doing the numbers. Okay. When he considers a hobby, a lot of times people have dogs. You don't always make money on a hobby. I have two buddies. I made them. I sold them. I didn't make money on them. I don't consider that a hobby. You know, right? When you guys are talking about dogs, you never talk about how many males or how many females. I have two female puppies, or I have two female dogs. Never had puppies. Never wanted to have puppies. One's fixed, one is not fixed. One came from pet rescue. I still don't have her spayed. She's too old to be spayed down. And so when you guys are talking, you guys are always talking, especially Mark, how many dogs are going to make dogs. When you have two male dogs and you have them together, you're not going to end up with a whole bunch of puppies. Maybe in Seattle you might end up with some bunny puppies. But not here. You guys aren't including males and females with it. Okay. And that makes a big difference. And you also haven't brought in the fact that if somebody new moves into town and they already have pets and they move to town and they already have four dogs, you're limited to anybody moving into town that has dogs. You have already an ordinance that says you can only have three. Who's going to decide on the new people coming in that they have to get rid of one of the dogs? Are you guys doing a vote on which of their dogs have to be gone? Maybe people won't move in, but you need to look at that as well. That's all.
Good question. If we have three, they'll have to figure it out because they're moving into our community. They're coming to live with us. That's my view on it, but, you know.
Well, they could always, the last town they came from is going to have a record of them having, you know, four dogs licensed in their town or something. You know, so if they can prove that, then there you go right there.
So you're saying they could have four then? Is that what you're saying, Mark?
Well, you can tell them that they...
Under our grandfathering clause, they would have four until attrition.
So is that what I do?
They're licensed.
Okay.
Well, I look at it kind of this way. Sometimes you'll end up with a dog because maybe your son or your daughter or something couldn't have a dog any longer. Maybe they're in an apartment, so there's no dogs. So I think this comes under the same thing. If you move to a fennel and we say three dogs, that's three dogs. I don't think we should confuse this thing any more than it is. I think if it's a resident of a fellow and they have licensed their dogs prior to 2011, it's okay to have those extra dogs. But anybody that moves into town, you come to the closet. We allow three dogs. You didn't have a license here prior to that time. And I think you should just stay with them.
Yeah. That's my view.
That hurts feelings.
Say the same thing about horses.
I believe in that ordinance.
Well, we don't have horses in here.
Well, I know, because we have ordinance that say no horses.
Right.
So are we going to tackle that one, or just going to leave it alone and it's three dogs, correct? We can make this ordinance interesting over time.
Yep. Somebody, I talked to a guy the other day, wanted to know if he had six chickens in the backyard.
That's
think it says no chickens.
It does, but I'll tell you that the organic green in Seattle, they're now allowing chickens a lot of places in Seattle. So you can have your own eggs.
Yeah. Well, that's what you want them for, in the backyard. They're free range.
Yeah. But our code says no chicken right now.
Is there any other citizens that would like to address the council on this issue? Okay. Well, then we'll move on. You have everything you need, Eamon?
No, thank you.
You do have everything you need?
Yes.
Okay. Just make sure so we can get an ordinance drawn up here. Okay. The next one is review sewer agreement, Adams County Water District, number one. Eamon? Questions?
Does some of these houses west of Taylor that became part of the water district, are they on the sewer line? I don't know.
I believe so, Terry, yeah. I was pretty sure.
Like, what's in, does anybody know that road out there?
Cameron Estates and...
And they're on our sewer line? And how are we currently billing them? Just
individually.
Per house, is just at 1.5 times or just?
Yes, well, for water, yeah, it's 1.5 times.
But sewer?
And they would become a part of the sewer district one, or any of the water district one's billing.
Right.
We bill them.
Right.
I thought we already crossed the bridge with water.
We have, that's all done.
Okay.
This is cleaning up the sewer part. When I first did this, I was so focused on water, getting water done, and they weren't a sewer district. That when Jim brought this to my attention, that they are a sewer district, although they're not called a sewer district, we have to go back to our sewer ordinance and clean it up.
Do you worry that paying every 6 months, you know, if they supposedly they're collecting, if they become a district from the homeowners and they're saving that somewhere, if they have some funny business with their funds, we could be left hanging.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to mislead you. They will tell us every 6 months how many residences are booked up, so we bill them. We will bill them every month.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on that.
All right.
Do we currently manually read all those meters down there west of?
Yes.
I was wondering
if
they did the update with the electronic.
Yes, that's one of the reasons we'd like to get out from under that. Liability is a big one with law.
Any more questions?
To share a small story with you. Do you remember, Terry, what road that plane was on? Andes and something, anyway, it was right in here, someplace, or maybe it was right in here. We had a claim come to the city for a sewer backup that was located right in here, that's close enough. And it came to the city, we looked on the map. People gave the claim to the city thought they were in the city limits. Of course, all this was written up, and Terry and I worked in the NW, we sent it in, and of course, our insurance company denied it. But people of this area think they're in the city. But as the water district will have the public hearing tomorrow night and expand their boundaries, this will become more clear to the residents of Edson Tracks that no, that's a separate entity and it's in the county.
Are they doing that now with sewer? Is that water district collecting the money from the households, or are we? I'm not sure how the sewer is working right now.
They are on some, we are for some, outside.
Well, it was kind of like the water was.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Now hopefully, their billing system is all manual. Hopefully they'll be able to get an automated system put in and it will run more smoothly. But right now they are all manual, handwritten billings.
But they are per se then a sewer district too.
Yes, yes, and thank you. Let's make that very clear. They are sewer district, even though they're just called a water district.
I mean, I've always been told right now our sewer is running at like half capacity, so if we, you know, this doesn't necessarily mean we're adding more. We're allowing them to add more, and for sewer, it's like it won't make a hill of beans difference if they.
Right, but we will encompass more as their boundaries have expanded. But like you're saying, it won't hardly be noticeable.
Do you remember there's plans to expand out there? So that's part of what's going on here.
Right,
remember?
But we should be able to take it.
Yeah.
It's just more income for us, actually.
Mm-hmm. Time and a half, or 1.5 times.
Yeah, I mean, can you shrink it so we can show the whole thing? Just so you know, the current boundaries of Adams County Water District number one is basically this gray line, this triangle, if you will. The boundaries would be expanded out to this red line. This piece in the south section is owned by Michael Anderson. This piece here is by Santos Del Rio. Of course, the housing district has already built in this area.
And those are hooked up to the sewer.
Sorry?
That new housing there is hooked up to our sewer line.
Yes.
Now, I'm assuming any development is responsible for the sewer lines and getting it to our, the city line?
Yes.
So in the agreement, do we have stated in there they have to do it to our specifications?
Yes.
Good, because if one day that's yes. ours.
Absolutely.
It would be nice. It belongs to the city one day.
And just to kind of look into the future and play what if. If, for example, Water District Number 1, expanded or not, defaults, in other words, they go under, they can't operate anything. By state statute, the county takes it over. The county's going to tell the state, we're not in the water sewer business. We think the city of Othello should do this. So, long range, if there's a default like that, that could eventually happen. However, I believe with the infusion of people like Anderson and Del Rio and the Housing District, they now can get on the board of Adams County Water District. And I think help the solvency and the stability of their program. As I understand it, we've made water rate increases over the past 9 years. I think we've done three. And as I understand it, they haven't passed any along to their rate. So you can't operate long getting increases and not passing them on. So I don't know where they are financially. I haven't looked at them. But I know Alan Hanks did, and he had a small concern. But I think with the infusion of some of the new people, they're going to address the stability of the water district. I don't want to say they're going under. Don't misunderstand me. Certainly don't want that in the paper agreement.
Yeah.
Because they're not. It's just, we're just playing water.
Has the water thing happened where we're not reading the meters at Cameron Estates anymore?
No, not yet. Okay. We have to wait until this whole transition goes through. They have a public hearing right here tomorrow night. They will pass and adopt a resolution that will be presented to the county and certified. Mm-hmm. Then, after we do our sewer ordinance or amendment to the agreement next week, then we're in position to meet with them and with the city clerk and the utility side and say, what is the best mechanism to transition here? And then we'll pick a date with the water district. Now we are transition date.
Here's a little byline, but those houses up in the upper left-hand corner, they're actually outside the district. Yes. Are those hooked to our sewer?
Those are hooked directly to our sewer line.
Yeah, but they are their own water district.
Oh, really?
They have
oh.
a water system there, but with sewer, yes, thank you, Debbie.
So they have their own well, too, then?
Yes.
So they collect sewer money from the in their district and then forward that to the city?
No, we bill them individually. Yes.
Yeah, I believe we have a contract, actually, with each individual
yeah.
property yeah. owner.
Each there. One. They all collectively belong to a water district of their own.
But we bill them each separate?
For sewer.
Where in Edson Tracks, they collect it and we get it from them in bulk.
Yes.
We don't bill them individually.
Out here we do.
Right.
But the difference
right
is
now,
each separate property is directly hooked to the sewer line. And like you said, we have a separate agreement with each one.
Okay.
Yes. It's a little complex, as you realize, but I think we're cleaning it up.
Right. We should have made Water District 1 take them over.
Huh? Any other questions for Raymond?
It's taken 7 years to do that. I started this 7 years ago.
Well, thank you, Raymond. Okay, next on it is the annual Spring Cleanup Days Proclamation. This is the 14th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. Whereas the city, in conjunction with Adams County, Consolidated Disposal Services Incorporated, Washington Carriers, Royal Organics, Oscar Towing, Experienced Merchandise, which is Adams County Development Council, and Allied Waste, volunteers and citizens will join together to beautify the city. And whereas the city encourages our residents to dispose of old junk vehicles, appliances, yard debris, yard vegetation, and old computers and televisions in an effort to improve the appearance of our community. And whereas students from our schools are encouraged to help clean up areas around their schools, and citizens are encouraged to pick up litter when they are out on walks around our city. Now therefore, I do hereby designate the week of April 4th through April 9th, 2011, as the 14th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. And I urge our citizens, civic clubs, and organizations to join together to make Othello a more attractive, friendly place to visit and live. Signed, this 7th day of March 2011, Mayor Tim Wilson. So encourage the people to get involved and take advantage of this. It's a great opportunity. Okay, Rapid Responder Program, Chief Dennegan.
Mr. Mayor, Council, good evening. You've heard me talk about this program before and several other things while we're working through and implementing it. This is called Rapid Responder, and thanks to all of our great technology now, I'm able to actually bring it to you and let you see exactly what we have at our disposal should we ever have an incident at one of our schools in the county. So I'm just going to take a couple of minutes and just show you what's available out there, what we've put together. These are plans that we work on through the school resource office, myself as an administrator of the program, and also through Rapid Response. This was all funded several years ago by WASPA, which is the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Chiefs of Police, and basically is a culmination of a lot of things, a lot of studies, a lot of thinking, and a lot of changing the way we do business with regard to incidents at public facilities, especially schools, after Columbine. So I'm just going to take a couple of minutes and just show you a few things. And this is my first name. Nobody laugh. I don't go by that. It's too hard for everybody to remember.
I don't think I'll ever forget.
Yeah. You'd do me a favor if you would.
Pete is much easier to remember.
That's an old family name. Okay, so every officer that has a computer in his car has access to this. And this is our login screen. I've logged in, and now I can have access to all the information that's within this program. If I type in a school specific, it would give me the information on the school, but we'll just go search, and that gives me every school that we have listed in Adams County. And so if there was an incident out at Lynn or Washtenaw, then we were called by the Sheriff's Office to respond. We could actually bring this information up and use it to our benefit as we're responding to a school. We have Alps, Binge, Hiawatha, Land, all of them. I'm going to go right to the high school. And it's not exactly as clear on what you're seeing, but that's an actual roadmap with a location. So any officer that has this, even if from Moses Lake or whatever, they could get into our school and they could find a map to it. So if we were responding to Royal City or Moses Lake, we could actually know where we're going right off the bat. But as you see, we've highlighted Othello High School. That's the main site. All these other listings here are entities or locations within the school itself. And so that's the business ed building. That's the size up. We don't have anything listed as security yet. But we also have information on fire, and in the process working with the fire department, hopefully that we're going to be getting them to update their information as well. And this tells us all kinds of different information about that. But if we go to size up, we can actually load that and see exactly where it is and have a picture of it if we needed to respond to that particular building. Thank you. big one that I want to show you is this one right here. This is what we call tactical. So we've already laid out all of our tactical response plans to any of the schools. And this just is a text version. But if I go over here and click on this map, this brings up the school. And close this. Over here is a key, and I'll make that a little bit bigger. We can actually go to this map. And any responding officer would know where we need to set all this stuff up. And it's kind of hard to see because it's really a little small, but all those little blue dots with lines, those are outer perimeter locations. So as the officers were responding, say to an active shooter at the high school, we're doing what we need to be doing to enter the school and get that taken care of. But as officers come responding to it, we would actually have assignments as they arrive. So they would be blocking off these particular intersections. You'll see that there we have a site for decontamination. These are observation posts, right? Well, you can't hardly see it, but they're binoculars. And we have bus staging. We have a landing zone that's been identified in here, so we could actually bring in a helicopter from medevac if we needed to. The incident command post for the high school is right at the police department. We also have identified locations to put press and volunteers. So we have all of these different locations, and we can tell dispatch to have all of these people respond to the different areas so that not all of them are converging on the high school and create more confusion. And then we have our inner perimeter and bus staging. We have family reunification out at the fairgrounds. All these things are laid out for us before an incident happens. So then the officer or whoever's doing the command post could go right to staging and basically tell everybody where they needed to go on the radio. So we would stage fire, EMS, helicopter or air support, all kinds of things. And it's all just listed out so they can just go right down and refer to it and have that at their fingertips instead of having to try to think through the process, because these incidents would be confusing. So that's pretty much it. And I mean, there's a lot of information in here. We even have the pictures of the vice principals, the principals. We try to keep all that contact information with phone numbers all up to date, so we would have that as well. We know through experience now, if we had an active shooter, we can't go there and then just set all this stuff up. We actually have to go in and try to mobilize the threat. So the process would be that the first officer on the scene would set up a temporary command post until all this other stuff got going. And then he would become the command incident commander. And as officers came in, we would put them in groups of two to actually enter the school, try to find the threat and mobilize the threat. But as all this is happening, as other officers are responding, then all this other stuff would be set up, because we would want to be able to control the scene as much as possible. We want to take care of any injuries, and we want to make sure that we have access to witnesses and things like that, plus provide information for parents and things, because we know that if something happens at the school, even now, a non-incident, you know, it gets out there on the cell phones really fast, and there's a lot of phone calls and a lot of confusion. So, but anyway, that's Rapid Responder, and this was all free to us. We just have to do the training, and we just did an updated training for the officers at our annual in-service meeting that we have. They all went over this, and now they'll be training on this and learning some of the nuances of the program. Any questions?
Yes, the building layouts in that also? You click on it and it can bring up the layout of the rooms and the hallways and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, there's a general floor diagrams that you mm-hmm. can get. You can't get to individual rooms, but it'll give you the hallways and kind mm-hmm. of an overview of the floor plan.
Any other questions?
How about along with the expansions and the remodeling, I know the school's added a lot of cameras into the school system. Are you able to access those? Or do you know the locations of them so you pull up?
We used points? To be able to access some of the cameras through the system that we have currently. But with the remodel and things and their upgrading, we haven't been able to reestablish that. There is also capabilities in this program to link up to their cameras. So eventually, hopefully, we'll have the cameras accessible here as well. So when we go to one of those locations, we went to Hiawatha, and then we went to security. It tells us about lockbox, security alarms, access codes, and then we go down to video surveillance. It says the monitor located is in the northwest corner of the administration gymnasium. So they have an in-house recording system, and that's where we'd find it if we wanted to get to that. But eventually, we would really like to have the cameras hooked up to our system so the officers could actually see what was going on the school grounds themselves. But the IT guy over at the high school, he's really a great guy, and he's been over here a few times working on our system to try to marry those up. They do a pretty good job. But anyway, that's it. And you know, like I said, we can go and look at all of these different views of buildings. We know where the knock boxes are, any of the mechanical rooms, we can find all that stuff.
Good.
Any other questions?
Okay. It doesn't look like it. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. So I'm just happy to be able to show that to you now.
Well, it'd be nice to have if we ever need it. I hope we don't, but
I hope so too.
Committee reports. We have any committee reports? Nothing for committees tonight? Okay. Unfinished business? Just for information, DOT is reviewing 26th and 1st. Remember, that's supposed to go this year to finish off what the first we did underneath on Broadway, where we dropped underneath it and got it higher up. So now we're reviewing that with DOT. When we hear more what exactly is going on, we'll let you know. So that's some that I know of. Okay, new business.
Just a note of interest.
Mm-hmm.
For what they don't want anymore, I've been running the farmer's market over here. And the wife got on the thing, find out, you know, it's to register for it. So it comes up the whole thing, and it gets down there. Where are you going to have it? It'll be the corner of 14th and Main in Pioneer Park. That's nice. Next section down says, what's the latitude and longitude of your... So I called City Hall. Well, I think they were busy, so they didn't get around. I called a guy over to county, and actually he gave me west longitude 119.10.11. And north latitude 46.49.84, and I assume that's probably just about in the middle of Main Street and 4th Avenue, because he said that should be within about 15 or 20 feet of what of what they want. And I thought it was really interesting what, you know, I mean, are we just keeping people busy? So, or are they going to put it on the you know, a GPS or something like that? If you can't find the Pioneer Park in Othello at 14th and Main, you're in trouble.
Anybody that has an iPhone has an app that shows longitude and latitude.
Yeah.
And it's on my phone. If you ever need it again, I can go any place you want and take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's where it goes.
It's on every grant application now, too.
Yeah.
For some mm-hmm. reason.
Yeah. Any other new business? Okay, Mayor's announcements. The Young Life Annual Banquet has not been scheduled yet. They are considering having it on Sunday evenings, so it should not interfere with council meetings. The ACW Adams ACWD number one is having a public hearing tomorrow at 8 o'clock, at March 8th, from 5:30 to 7 in the council chambers. And this is on the boundary line expansions that we just visited about. So if you're interested, I suppose you can go to that. Adams County Mayor's Luncheon is having their quarterly meeting at the Senior Othello Senior Center at noon on Wednesday, March 9th. So if you're interested, we'd love to have some of you. And this is where we invite all the mayors of the county to come to. And the main topic is a discussion of the Hanford impact fees. So we'll be hearing on that. ACDC is having a meeting at 6 p.m. on Thursday, March 10th, in the council chambers. If some of you haven't gone to that, it's really interesting to go to. I encourage you to go to at least one of those and see what it's all about, because they're working hard to make things happen in Adams County. Okay, and then city property is being auctioned at the Booker Auction on Saturday, March 12th. And there's a pool committee meeting at noon on Tuesday, March 16th. You that are on the pool committee. Yeah. What's that? Oh, what did I look at? Oh, 15th, okay. And the beautification committee, I guess so. Grab my glasses. The beautification committee is meeting from 7 to 9 p.m. in the chambers on Tuesday, March 15th. And if you have any interest in that at all, I really encourage the citizens to come to that. Our first meeting was very interesting. And everybody probably saw in the paper the wonderful picture of a possibility. So become involved, and you have an opportunity to put some thought into that also and what you think should happen. So I encourage citizens to come. And I appreciate the citizens that have come on the dog issue that we have. You had to get to have an impact on this, and I think we came to some good terms on this one. So, and this meeting's adjourned.
Article in the Spokane paper Sunday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There are four towns in Adams County, right? Washtenaw, Lynn,
okay.
Hinsville, and Othello. We're the only one that's gained. All the other three towns in the city, in the county, are losing population. All the small towns are going down. There's a couple of them, like 42 people. Hmm.
Okay, so this meeting's adjourned. Thank you for coming.